Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 14, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, the 14th of August 2019. Hungary has the highest level of antisemitism in Europe. 7.5% of carriers of the Jewish genes live there, the largest share of Jewish genes in the world after Israel, twice the number in the US. It is as if having one Jewish grandparent. That is why Hungarians are the biggest anti-Semites. We advance step by step, I rose and fell, and there was evening and there was morning, one day. Each and every time, we build a new state by losing everything we received before. If we'd remember and preserve the previous state, we wouldn't be able to acquire a new one. I have to fall, Shimon from the market. The lower one receives everything from the upper one, this world and the upper world, and the means to ascend. What remains is to discern how to relate properly to the external and internal states, meaning to the group, the world and myself, and then incorporate myself into the group and annul myself. Self-annulment can be passive or active, at various degrees, in changing conditions. But the experience we must accumulate from all the states we go through is the ability to annul ourselves of our own choice. I must know why I annul myself and before whom, and how, in return I acquire the group, the world. For now we cannot do anything besides self-annulment, nullifying ourselves more and more. All correction comes down to this, until its very end, until the coming of the Messiah, the light Rav Polaima Makabtsiel. All our actions are to annul ourselves because we are working on egoism's correction. By nullifying myself, I adhere to the Creator's self-annulment and attain Him through His self-annulment. By annulling myself for the sake of connecting to Him, I start to understand how He annuls Himself, and thus I study the Upper One. It is also important to annul yourself to the right people, but never to the egoistic world. Allowing the Creator to be delighted by revealing Himself in the creatures is work that, till the end of correction, proceeds entirely on the ascent, from our Habta Allah, by adhering to the Upper One, annulling to Him through annulling to the group, as written, from love for the creatures to love for the Creator. Passive self-annulment is bestowal for the sake of bestowal, while an active one is already reception for the sake of bestowal. I am in the Upper One, I feel Him and understand just how I can delight Him by receiving, by helping Him be revealed in me. Michael Leitman, on Quora, why can't Palestine recognize Israel? The people of Israel alone determine the attitude that the nations of the world have toward them. The nations of the world have no free choice in how they perceive Israel. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, Israel are people with free choice, because it was the people of Israel who were granted the ability to rise above the egoistic human nature, the desire to enjoy at the expense of others, that runs on autopilot within each and every person. If the people of Israel make the choice to rise above the divisive egoistic drives and unite, then an abundance of goodness will flow out to the world through them. Likewise, if the people of Israel fail in making that choice, letting egoism continue to grow unabated, then no agreements will help them, it will be bad for them and for the world. Free choice is the choice to connect among each other and by doing so, reveal the upper force, the force of connection and love, here in this world. If we fail to make that choice, then the negative side of the force of connection and love, division and hatred due to egoistic desires growing without any effective regulation, will ripple out to all humanity in depth and width. This is the root of any positive or negative attitude toward Israel from the nations of the world. Today, since the people of Israel are not making any effort to realize their unifying role in the world, then anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli sentiment, including denial of the state of Israel, grows in order to pressure the people of Israel to fulfill their duty in the world. Evolution of Desires, Part 1. Four Levels of Desires. Question. The entire history of humanity is a process of development of human desires. Balhasulam writes in his articles that both in nature and within a person there are four levels of desires: inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human. Therefore, we see these four levels outside of us. What are these desires and how many of them are there, in quality and in quantity? Answer: in principle, the desire to fill oneself is common to all levels of nature. What to be filled with depends on the deficiency the desire feels and on what will give it the feeling of fulfillment and pleasure. If this desire is at the inanimate level, then it wants to realize itself as it is. At the same time, it is not able to add or subtract anything from its desire but only acts in the same way it exists. This desire is called inanimate. It cannot develop, but wants to fulfill whatever it feels it is lacking, that is, to get closer to something, to distance itself from something. It works in this form. Then the desire develops from the inanimate level to the vegetative one. In the vegetative level, there are already changes in the desire itself. It grows, changes its form, creates all kinds of auxiliary desires and tools for its own realization. Therefore, it develops lengthwise, in breadth, grows, moves toward the sun, air, and water. It acquires the ability to control its initial desire in order to realize itself. This desire is called vegetative. However, it cannot move from its place. Like a plant, it grows in the same place it was planted. It can spread from there, but its initial root remains where it was planted by the upper force, something or someone external. It continues to develop from this state. Yet, this type of desire can reproduce, influence the environment, and be influenced by the environment. It is like plants that interact with the four states of nature: winter, spring, summer, and autumn. The inanimate desire, however, does not have this ability. The vegetative desire differs from the inanimate by the fact that it spreads, but so far, it remains at the same place it exists. The next desire is the animate. It already can move from place to place, meaning that it has freedom of movement. Naturally, its reproduction is much more complicated and consists not of the same states as the states of a plant but requires connection with others. In the animate desire there are male and female individuals that move, build a family between them, actively search for sustenance, and so on. There is already a fight for a place, for a species, and for a female here. That is, this desire has a whole set of tools for realizing itself in an optimal way. The next level of desire is the human who contains all the previous desires. In addition, he has free will in their implementation, and he can move, combine, move away, approach, and change his goal for what and how he can develop. The human is not limited in his desires and their fulfillment. Everything depends only on him. Therefore, his desires, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, give him complete freedom. He is the leader, he is the king of nature. From Cab TV's Basics of Kabbalah, December 3, 2018. New Life 1. Toward a New World.
Hello, you're joining us here in our studio with Dr. Lightman on a series of conversations in a new project called Global Education. We're working together. Join us, listen, I'm sure it's going to be great. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Recently we talked a lot about the world advancing to a place where there will be many people who are unemployed. We see this today, already 200 million, and it's about to increase drastically this year. And these people, they're creating problems for themselves, social problems, for the regime, on all levels, from depression up to revolutions and war and so on. And in our organization, we're developing content which is intended to reach a person who his country, suppose, has decided that he should use this content, and by this content he will develop himself, his feelings, his understanding, and his closer circle, and the country where he's living, and in the world. And we had many conversations where we have explained why it's so important, and without that, that the world will deteriorate. And the rational really explains, the rational shows that the whole world should accept such a program. By the way, he doesn't necessarily have to be unemployed. I could decide as an employer that, suppose we're working for X hours a day, and the rest of the time they study in order to upgrade the people. Sure. Okay, now my part of the project is to create a book out of your words, where we will take this knowledge and create it in smaller portions for self-education, so that tomorrow the citizens of the world will be able to open it and study. Short lesson, perceived in the mind, one way or another. At the end of the lesson, we talk to him if he understood why, what, how, and if he answers successfully and goes through it all, then he will be eligible to receive from his country the scholarship. And today, I'd like to start the developing of this content. So to get into the situation, let's depict this. Let's imagine the next picture, and after we do it, then I'm out of the picture. And so a certain country okayed this project, means that I understand why, yeah, they understand everything, and that probably it will bring good to that country, and the decision makers have understood our ideas, and they give us a green light for the project. First class, unemployed or partially unemployed people, and we come to the first meeting with them. And suppose 30, 40 people are sitting in that classroom, and you come to that first meeting, and what do you sell? What do you say to people? Talk to them. I'm not here. I simply want to listen. And if they'll hear things that are inspiring, that they think that can upgrade their lives, we'll make a book out of it. So first of all, good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon or good morning, right? And I'm very happy that we're meeting here. Possibly you see this meeting as a tragic meeting, in a bad situation or something, under not so good circumstances, because otherwise you wouldn't have found yourself in this framework. Maybe you're obligated to be here, and this is why you're here. But let's see. This is a gladdening state, not a state of crisis, and that we're not here because of some problems, but we are in the opening of a new, gladdening, happy life. And we simply have to understand for that what's going on with us in general, and in particular with each one of us, and why is it happening, and is what's going on, is it simply some incident that we stumbled upon during life? We made certain mistakes or something? Or is there a process to this, that we can undergo this process only according to certain laws and a certain general tendency, direction that we have to go through and by it to achieve something good? The truth is that the word crisis itself, that this is how we call our situation, we say, general, global, integral crisis in economics and culture and education, financial crisis and science. In short, in anything in which a person is engaged in this world, it's all a crisis. And the truth is that the word crisis, it's not a bad word. Crisis, it's like a new opening. It's like birth. This is the meaning of the word, where always, we also see this in our life. When we come from a certain state to a certain state, we're always in a transition from phase to phase, where the transition from one state to the other, letting go, is hard. Even to change jobs, take a decision in life, nonetheless, there are things that you're used to. There's a habit. There's a system that's already there. And when it's working, then we have to waste a lot of efforts and we're pretty lazy. Our ego is drawn to what's certain, already existing, secure. And the transition is always unpleasant unless we go for it for sure, where we see the good future. And then it's an easy transition. But if it's a hard and threatening transition and we don't see the future and it's unknown, then it's truly a tragical state. And so let's first of all see whether our situation is tragical and bad, and are we facing great problems, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, explosions of volcanoes, and so on and so forth. Who knows what's going on there with all that the ecologists are frightening us with? Or will it be wars and riots and further revolutions, blood on the streets, and a whole mess? Or it could be a new order, where everything that happens to us now is as if the birth of a new order, that we don't see it. But all these things that are now under this tension and pressure and forcefully and have no solution are so because they have to be born in their new way, like an embryo during the process of birth, that he grows in a good way inside his mom, everything's safe on his behalf, on her behalf, and then toward the birth itself, there's a very unpleasant process where the mother feels great pressures and he feels great pressures. And so starts a process where they're in reciprocal, under mutual pressure, up to a point where as if they can't stand each other. He has to come out. If we transfer it into our emotions, he as if hates being inside her, and she's also incapable of holding him inside her any longer. And then, through this mutual rejection, I don't want to say hatred, but through this mutual rejection, the act of birth occurs, and then he's born into an enlightened, beautiful world where he is accepted and really as someone who has achieved, merited a new life on a new degree, instead of being a few kilos of flesh living inside something, inside some other living creature, he became a small person. He still doesn't understand what's going on, but he started his new life. It's very similar maybe to what we're undergoing. And so our states, they are like labor pains in a new world, into the new world. Throughout history, we went through such states, not so tragic, not so under such a great inversion that you can call birth. But always, throughout our levels of development, we call them the levels, the phases of development. And there were many such phases throughout the history of throughout human history. But the current state, it's different than previous states, because we were always drawn to open it up. We wanted to open things up. We saw in advance that we have to make a sort of a revolution in life. It could be a social revolution, political social revolution, technological revolution. It could be a revolution that comes as a result of some kind of a new discovery, discovering a new continent, a new kind of weapon, then also there's some kind of a direction or a new technology like internet, suppose, that opened up before us the connections, the new kind of connection between us. But this wasn't a general overturn, flip that touched all levels of our life and all the orders of our life. And also, it didn't happen in the whole of humanity, on all continents, in all countries, in each and every family, and in each and every person. Didn't affect people to that extent. Now as well, we're in the process before this new birth, and thus we can't say that, yeah, this is really happening now, but we see that we're advancing toward it. And that the state, let's call it a crisis for the time being, before birth, is ever more pressuring, putting pressure on each one of us in particular and on all of us in general. And we see that we can't get along in a family. We divorce. We don't want to get married. We don't know how to behave with each other in a family. All the more how to bring up children. We can't get along at our working places and economics. And really the whole connection is getting into some kind of lack of understanding, lack of order. And the problem, once again, why is it called a general revolution, the general birth of the whole of humanity, and not of a specific country or society or a part of it? Because it's really a global, integral thing going on. This never before happened in history. And the main thing is that we can't see the future. We don't see a future. Always some kind of a social form. Suppose from slavery, we went to a more advanced kind of society. From it, further more advanced and so on. Even though through outbursts and revolutions and wars and religious wars, social wars, but it was along with seeing in advance something good, something new that we have to come to. Part of the people agreed, part didn't, part of society. In some country it happened, in another country it didn't. Here, there is a global process. It is something that never happened before. And also, all around the world, there is a global process going on with ecology, with the climate, that if there were such climate changes, the ice age, the heating up, the cooling down, and there were many such phases, always many of them. And this introduced great changes to humanity, revolutions, changes that came as a result. There was a period where the cooling down period necessitated the people that lived in the north to go southwards, or from Siberia and Asia to come a bit closer to Europe and so on. There were periods where it happened by climate change as a result of humanity advancing developing technologically as a result of a certain society developing on its own and could no longer stand a certain ruler and or a regime. And now it happens all at once from surrounding nature, meaning ecology, and also from a person's inner nature that he can't get along with anyone. And even those systems that he depends on, which are food, heating, family, education, security, meaning basic needs for a person in order to keep the generation going. We see that everywhere, all around the world, we have reached a general situation that something's not working. And the main thing is that we can't see the form we're crossing into. And so we have created this course of ours in order to see the future. Is it possible to see it? Is it possible to head toward it in a conscious way through understanding, like a human being that can look forward, see, examine, try one way or another, calculates things in advance, and then correspondingly can digest the path, and not in a blind way that he makes mistakes and puts himself and in general on a global scale where it's happening all over the world. It's frightening to make mistakes, to have a small attempt. It's impossible. So our course, let's say, it has to open up our eyes about the current situation. And the main thing is the future state. And how do we cross from the current state to the future state? We will have to know what are the changes that we'll have to go through. Why specifically? Why is it specifically these changes that we have to go through? The reason for the lack of our success in any field that we're engaged in. By what means can we cross on into the new state? Can we really today receive or accept a state where truly we are like before birth, that it's our nature, external and internal, that is pushing us, necessitating us to reach a new state? Is this thing natural for human development? And let's say that were we to know, then we would have seen it in advance, that the people that lived in the times of slavery did not know that the next state is a certain kind of freedom. They thought that now we are moving into slavery because it's the most convenient thing. Because I'm in a state where I don't want to think about myself, I'm ready to think and I'm ready to work, and someone will give me food, will make sure that I have a place to sleep, and that's all I need. This is what a person entering slavery thinks, and his master took care of him, of course, in order to benefit from his work, but it paid off to give him food and a place to sleep and health if necessary to his slave, because he got from the slave more than he invested in him. So in favor of both of them, this is what they did. And suddenly, turned out that it's better for the master not to hold the slave as a slave because his yield is not sufficient, what you can get from him. But if I'll give him freedom, and we conclude between ourselves that he is next to me, but relatively he's more free, and he works, and from his work I get so and so many percent, so it's better for me then to keep him and care for him. And this is how society moved into its next phase, into the next level. And so today we're on a certain level of a rational kind of development into a new state. And if so, then why don't we see it? Why don't we see the new state? Why can we not plan? We have enough brains and enough experience from all of history and science. Bright people, everything is so developed in the world, and why are we suddenly as small, blind people that on all of our international summits and all of the research institutions and universities, and we have so many sociologists, politologists, economists, we can't do anything. What's missing? What are our scientists lacking in order to discover the solution? To such an extent that today we're here on a course in which we have to learn, not from life, but artificially, really artificially, about our life that is coming and advancing toward us, a new life. It's something that never happened to us ever before. Any of us in his previous life felt that, okay, that's enough. We have to have a revolution. We have to change society, the environment, and so on. Today, no. We know that we have to change something, that everything has to change, but we don't know what is it that we should pull, neither the means nor the goal. In short, kind of helpless. And so, let's open our conversation, our first conversation in general, with what does a social development mean, atop of which the political development is riding, and family and economics and the home and kids' education and culture, technology, science, and so on. Because a person, he's living a social life. Hundreds of thousands of years ago, well, at least tens of thousands of years ago, a person started a social life because he can't provide for himself all that he needs. He's not living in small flocks like animals. Even we grew from the animalistic level, but nonetheless our nature is to prosper, develop an environment, to know what is life, how can I benefit myself more. This is our inner urge. It's an egoistic desire, of course, where each one of us wants a better life, more secure life, more tranquil life. Each one of us also wants to be more than others, envy, lust, honor. It is all in a person. We see that also in the most ancient of cultures, it's developing and flourishing these qualities in a person. And it is what pushes us toward development. And if so, then a person, he has to live a social life. He can surely get along in a forest, but then he'll be like an animal. We see that sometimes people are in the forest, they're lost in a forest, and then they develop like animals. The animals accept them, and then man gets the living, he takes on the living level and can't even go back to human society to such an extent that he loses the image of a human. And so all of our development throughout the generations was in order to develop society.
And the more we develop, we see that a person himself doesn't really develop on his own, by himself, but it all depends on society. He develops society, and society develops his personal life. And one depends on the other. Today, I depend on thousands of people worldwide, because if I check, what is it that I'm wearing? How do I live? What do I eat? How's my house built? The heating, the cooling, my work. In short, everything that exists. I don't think that there is a country that does not participate in supplying me with my needs. If not directly, then through a few more countries where the raw materials comes from and the parts for the machinery, and by that machine you create something, and from that something else, and from that they create your clothes. And we know that from our research that the world is completely interdependent. And the more the world enters this kind of a specialization where each person has his particular work, but his work is interconnected and is in harmony with the rest of the people, then we can really provide ourselves with thousands of additional things that in the past a person, he used to provide himself only with a bit of bread, a bit of vinegar, a bit of meat, a bit of wine, afterwards a bit more food, a bit more clothing, shoes, afterwards a bit more heating, afterwards some vehicles, and so on. And correspondingly, there developed experts in economics, agriculture, machinery, and so on. The whole matter of culture, books, music, singing. And we see that around man there are such industries that he doesn't even need it as something, as a basic need for life, but he can't go on without it. We see some musician goes on stage, gives us concert before 1,000 people. They pay him money. They pay him money for one performance, like a worker through hard sweat makes in a month. Maybe not even that, maybe in a year. We appreciate these things, meaning that are not essential basic needs, but we truly appreciate them. And this has to do with truly a person's psyche, that we can't go on without that. Sports, tourism, where we have in our days, it's really, if you calculate all in all, what do we do in our times for, in order to, that we really need for our basic needs? For sure, we're creating 90% things that we don't need, but we as if need them. Because without that, we feel that, no, that also has to do with the human level. I need that too. Either, okay, if I have no other choice, I can live in a cave, but the human development necessitates that as well, meaning that we've reached a state where we can say that if a person disconnects from society, he will have to live a sorrowful life. He will not be able to provide himself maybe only with the basic needs for life in order not to starve to death. And all the rest of so, he will have to get into a society, create things that society is needy of, and if he gives it to society, then he gets from society what he needs, what he wants. So first of all, our dependence on society, that we're dependent on society, this is something very basic. And if so, then what is it that we did wrong in society that we find ourselves in a state where we can't get along, that we feel in our society, in life, crisis, a bad kind of crisis, not like we said that crisis means birth, but before birth, these labor pains. What's wrong? And here, if we investigate ourselves and our development, then we see that all of our development, it comes from the development of our desires, that a person wanted ever more. In the past, we wanted like people in a village. I have a cow, I have sheep, I have a piece of land that I grow crop on, and kids, and I live. I know that that's it. A small desire, meaning. Afterwards comes a bigger desire that pushes me to start selling my things on the market, in the city, and instead of that, getting from there some nice garment or special things. I come to the city, suddenly I see there's some kind of a machine to plow the land in a more useful manner. So I work even harder in order to buy that machine. Maybe I lend money from someone in order to buy that machine in advance and then give it back to him and to sell the yield that I could already provide in greater quantity. And then we see that we develop, we get into an interaction between us, the ego grows and pushes us to develop, toward development. There are many books about it. We can recommend you what to read here and there from the internet and maybe in the written literature about these themes. It's our ordinary history that is all in all based on the development of the desires in a person. We want more. Why do we want more? Our desire is growing. I don't know why, but suddenly I want something else and something else. And I look at others, suddenly I see that he's drawn towards something and he's drawn towards something, and I'm learning from them because I have envy, lust, honor, dominion, the desires to acquire the useful things from them and to be no less than them because I have an ego. I don't want to feel myself next to them as if I'm losing, but as if I'm winning, as if I'm benefiting. And if we look at human development this way, we see that this is what draws us forward. And I always look at others and learn from others, and among us there are such people who have a great imagination, there are those that have an ability to develop more greater technical things in technology and economics and medicine and anything that could be good for people eventually, to fill our desires. And all in all, this is how we develop. And we see that when the time came, then wars began in conquering land and people. And afterwards, there came a time to discover the continents and to develop technologically, how to sell things, how to buy things, how to produce things in a new way, special way. Then we go to outer space. We're advancing ever more, and we reach a dead end. This started about 50 or 60 years ago. Let's say in the 60s of the 20th century, the smart people who investigate society, the environment, the process that humanity is undergoing, they started warning us that we're stagnating, that something's going on with us, that as if we don't see any further place to develop to. What helped us forget about it a bit back then is the space program. but actually it also very quickly came to an end. Oh, we'll circle Earth again, reach the moon again. Okay, did that, been there, done that. We see that it doesn't really help us. It's all still, not even vegetative or animate, and of course not humans, with all of our fantasies and hopes to find other living beings or forms. And here we come to a certain emptiness. We as if developed to such an extent that there is no further place to develop to our inner nature, our external nature, and what we feel around us, the world, doesn't open any further. What we have is what we have, and that's it. And they started warning us. The sociologists, philosophers wrote many books about it, that it is the end of human development, and there's much said about it. We can also recommend books about it by Fukuyama and others. And on the other hand, different kind of scientists grew that said that our world is becoming round, that after it grew, after the people in our world have developed and grew in their ego and in all possible fields in a person, we thought that this development is endless, boundless, that we can create such vehicles and cars, and for each person, I don't know, maybe even an airplane and communications and whatnot. Eventually, man himself, who consumes all these things, he discovers as if that, okay, that's it. What is there about it? He feels an emptiness. It gives him no satisfaction. Why is there no satisfaction? We talked about it, that our entire development stems from our inner desires that constantly grow. And suddenly, these desires of ours, they stopped growing. On the contrary, we feel some kind of decreasement in our desires, deterioration, as if in the past I wanted a family, the bigger the better, many women, many children, no, one wife, enough, kids, two, even one, today, neither. Life, it's becoming so both hard, also complicated, where we see that in the developed countries, people don't want to leave their mom's house till the age of 30, 40. He goes to work and spends all of his money on himself. Why does he need a wife and kids? He travels, hangs out, has a good time, he's free, mom takes care of him. Afterwards, he also sustains them, besides the social support from the pension, besides what they get from the pension, social security, and he feels good. And humanity has developed to such an extent, we've built a society such that I have food in the supermarket, I have a microwave, food on my table, don't have to share my apartment with anyone, have an apartment of my own. And when I'll be old and great, I have social security, I have health care, hospitals, and a place in the cemetery. So what? For this, it is not worthwhile bothering all life, all through life. This is what we feel. And this is eventually because our ego became so big that we don't feel an ability to connect with others, to invest in them, to treat them for them to treat me. I don't feel the ability to bond so closely with someone. Unless we have an ability where one helps the other, where I and my wife are also like friends, like partners. And then our life is more similar, not like how family was in the past, but more like a partnership. She's working, I'm working. She takes care of something I do. She pays, I pay. We're pretty much partners. It's not like in the past it was that the man is he's the top, he goes out to bring food home, livelihood, and the woman is at home with the kids and the house and so on. Today, no, both of them go to work in the morning, throw the kids in some place where the kids are being educated in the meantime, in the evening come back home, take the kids home. So what do they have at home that they barely see each other? He watches television or sits next to the computer. She makes, she washes the dishes or something, and barely somehow, and the laundry, and that's it. What all in all? They're already equal. It's not that one's on top and the other one's beneath. That is nonetheless called family. My husband, in Hebrew it's Ba'ali, as if the verbal meaning of my owner. And Ishti, my wife. Meaning we have reached a state where the family has lost the structure of a family and it became more of a partnership. So in a partnership, I check it out whether it's beneficial or not. Or people, they either get divorced or don't even want to get into such kind of a partnership. It's a fact, and we kind of learn the reasons for it. Our ego, that grew, tells us that it's not good for us to get into this partnership called family, and also the kids. I don't feel toward them, because of my ego, any special proximity, closeness, that they're truly my soul. But they have a life of their own. They're educated in a way that is so distant than how I was brought up. The gap between the generations is so great that they're completely disconnected from me. They're a completely different animal. They get education and different interests. They are, it's something very far. I can barely understand the way they talk, what they do, what's appealing and attracting for them. The connection between the generations was broken. And so I'm in a state where I feel what I get from these kids. No contentment, no nothing. The only thing they want is give money and shut up. And so turns out that I enjoy them while they're young, while they're small. From the age of 12, 13 and on, I lose any connection to them. Then, I suppose in the previous generation, I was for in a 10 to 15 years of on stall, on delay till I have grandchildren. And then when I have grandchildren, then I take care of them. Okay, but today no more. They don't even want to make you grandchildren. A person makes different such calculations. We can elaborate about it, but subconsciously in general, this is how it goes, and it all stems from the developing ego that that's not worthwhile. And then we see that we developed demographically very in this very sharp curve, exponentially. And suddenly, we started straightening out to an extent to which all predictions say that people that calculate these things, experts in demography and human development, they say that soon we will start to rapidly decrease. And today, still, there are a few such civilizations like in the Arabian countries that have a need on behalf of their religion to conquer the world. They have genetical and religious science to develop more and make more children, but they're too we see that in their developed countries, instead of the 10, 15 kids they had before, today they have 2 or 3. So we see that there too, it's very quickly getting the same form as in the rest of the world. And all in all that's happening, the most interesting thing, and this is something new, that didn't exist previously, that our society is becoming an integral society. That not only that we discover that banks and industry and factories are interconnected around the world and are exchanging raw materials and their products and food and so on, but we are reaching a culture and education, in culture and education, some kind of a reciprocal state where we're truly interdependent. It's not that we know what's going on in the world through the media. So if I know, then I know. So what? But we're becoming interdependent as a result, and that's the problem. Where if this interdependence, it's in a good family, then it's good. It gives family security. It's nice, it's good, but if it's a bad kind of dependence, then the family gets divorced. Otherwise, it brings them to violence. And we, how will we divorce each other if we are on a global scale in a state where we're reaching states where we hate each other, reject each other, and along with it are interdependent and we can't divorce? Nature has enveloped us so on the thin crust of Earth, and we can't divorce each other, we can't escape each other, and turns out that from day to day we're ever more dependent. If in the past we're distant, if I'm in good or bad relations with you, then with the worst scenario, we kill each other. Today, no, if we start that way, we'll kill the whole world. We'll destroy everything with the weapons that we have. Meaning that we depend both for the better and for the worse. We are all interdependent, and this is a very big problem. Because in the meantime, our ego, it's not decreasing, and it doesn't agree to any compromise. It goes and grows, and we're not becoming any smarter. We're afraid. We're afraid that along with and envy, lust, honor, control, cruelty, on the other hand, and the brain, which is blocked as a result of this reciprocal hatred, we will reach a state where we'll be able to destroy life altogether on a global scale. Nature, we see, brings us to reciprocity, to interdependence, mutual dependence that we can't escape. It's not like in a family that can divorce. And what do you do then? We have to find a solution. And the only solution is domestic peace among everyone, among all people, among all countries, without pressuring each other, but only necessitating one thing, searching for completion, supplement, peace. And probably this is the only solution. And as a result of this general solution, which really that our life really depends on, we'll see how our development necessitates us to organize the rest of the things in our world, social life. So it'll be like in a family, social life, the relations between us, what does everyone need, in order to somehow be in peace with others, to compliment others? What education do we have to give both for the grown-ups and also for the children, for them to be easier to get into a new, warm, soft world? And how will we make sure that no one jumps up and starts inciting humanity at each other? There are many scientists that speak about it, how, according to their research, the world is around, interdependent, and how we can't escape it. But on the contrary, we're ever more getting into mutual dependence, participation, and so on from day to day. How dangerous in such a state it is to engage in protectionism, to isolate one country from another, because it is against the process that we're undergoing from the beginning of our development as human beings and until this day. And to go against the laws of nature, direction that we see in history, it never works. But on the contrary, it's like in our world, if I know some laws of nature and I don't keep them, then immediately I harm myself. All of our technology, science, is how to imitate nature, how to follow nature, where we develop our tools in order to further discover what is there in nature in order to use it for our own benefit. And so, the more we know nature's laws, especially those that have to do with environment, with people, with our psychology, social psychology, and we'll realize them between us nicely, then we will benefit. Because otherwise, we'll have to start a divorce process is a world war, and that could be the end of human development on Earth altogether. So, here we talked about, in the time being, about the process that we're undergoing. What did we come to, and what are actually the possibilities standing before us? Of course, there is a lot of proof about it, and literature, and further possibilities to discuss it, and we'll touch all these things and talk about them in the future. But for the time being, the very first portion for you to have a general overview of what we underwent throughout history as a result of the development of our desires, and what did we come to when these desires became global, that enveloped us in an interdependent state, and we're all as one family, that is really broken. The crisis is actually in this family called humanity. That if we get along between us, everything will get along, will fall into place. And there's such research, really amazing, that says that if humanity will start getting along like in a family, then we'll reach a state that even nature, climate and different natural phenomena will also fall into place. Meaning many scientists in our times are already saying there's a connection here, both between human society and still vegetative, animate, and the rest of the levels of nature, and the living world and the vegetative world. They will all feel a great positive force as a result. To explain to ourselves that there's no choice and that we have to come to mutual understanding, to talk to each other on a global scale, this is actually our first topic. And now, if so, then we can go to questions. You said that there are laws in nature, that there are natural laws that have to do with man and society and social psychology, and if we realize it correctly, we'll succeed. What does that mean? I understand that there is gravity. No, we're also talking about the laws inside a person, man, the psychology of man, social psychology, the psychology of a family, parents and children, between children. If we know all of this psychology, what is psychology? When I know the nature of a living person, small or big, and the relations between them, parents, children, older, younger, both in width and also in height, if I know man's nature and how to organize the relations between people, then I know how to build human society such that everyone will feel good and convenient. Everyone will have to make concessions toward others because everyone wants to be a king and all the other his servants, on the one hand. On the other hand, we can reach a state that if we educate a person that he benefits as a result of people being next to him as equals that help him, support him, then a person accepts it in the best possible way. He sees that in a system where everyone is interdependent, you can't go about it any other way. And then, in a good way, we'll have to come to that. Of course, a person's ego will constantly push him to fight against that. He'll want to control others. But on the other hand, there is public opinion, the environment, society, and we'll talk about it, how it influences and educates a person, how it's capable of holding him in a framework if it wants, how it will keep him, for him not to let his ego break out, but on the contrary, for him to feel the good, using his ego in a good way, how beneficial it is, how society is in favor of it, and how good it is for everyone. Public opinion here should be dominant, necessary, determining. What are the laws of nature? Laws of nature, it means that first of all we have to learn who is man, what is the environment, how they influence each other. It's also natural, the laws of nature. We're a part of nature. First of all, I'm talking about studying man himself. We have to understand that, first of all, we have to learn who is man and why do we develop the way we do, and do we have the ability to overcome against this, prevail this kind of development, and if we do prevail, is it for the better? Probably nature is advancing us towards something new, something better, but we simply have to understand what is that and follow that, and we have to also understand why is it that we don't see the future picture now, where we used to develop through this urge to discover, to be, and today, the very opposite. We are falling into despair. We don't want anything. This form as well is probably good and preferable for the next development, where we have to let go of our current state and rise to a truly completely different state. Thus, with respect to the current state, we're in some kind of despair, tiredness, we don't want to sustain it, keep developing. Probably the new state is very, very new. The next phase is very, very new. We as if let go of the previous state, cleanse ourselves as if dip into water and come out into a new world. We don't want to be in contact with this whole world that we've littered enough, divorced, did bad things with to ourselves, to our relatives, to other people. If we really look at what we did in the world, there is nothing that I can take with me into the good world if I could imagine and fantasize something good. To take what? I have a family. No. Kids? No. Friends? No. Work? Not really. So what? All in all, if I would have crossed into something ideal, what would I have taken with me? So if we take an overview of our whole life, we see that we're despaired from it. It's possible that it's truly a transition into a completely new state. And so, on the one hand, we don't see it. On the other hand, we're despaired and we don't want what we have here and now. And we also don't see a solution from what we're in. Either we're in the land of Israel where we see no solution with our neighbors, with our life. We live from one day to the next. We live from today to today, not even from today to the next day. And more countries are this way. More and more people understand that we live because we live. So the situation is very special, unique. And thus what's going on with us is we have to understand from our small research that probably we're letting go of all these things here and we're crossing into a new dimension, onto a new level of existence. We're really jumping a level higher. We're really born into a new world. And that is a world where there are different laws. What nature is starting to present before us, integral laws, interdependence. Everyone relies on or depends on all the others. The world is round. An equal world, a world of equality, of connection, according to laws by which you live in a good family. This is probably what we're advancing toward now. And we'll see, why is it that way? Does it only seem to us that way? Or is it something we're only dreaming of? Or is this really what expects humanity necessarily and will have to come to that, either consciously or by the powers that will obligate us to come to that? So, to learn all of these laws, of course, is in our own favor, because then we will know how to cross from one state to the next in the best possible way. We need that because in all other kinds of development we used to develop as a result of nature pushing us from behind with our new desire, today no longer. Today we're at a dead end where we ourselves have to investigate. What is the next state? Why? What for? How? And when we will open up this new life and see it, we will have to see by what means do we come to that, meaning as opposed to the instinctive development that we had in all previous generations and the transition from one state to the next, from one society to another, from one social state to another social state and so on, the so-called formations. So now we have to develop consciously that we have to understand nature, its laws, and then along with realizing these laws and understanding, consciously implementing them on human society, this is how we cross into the new state. We as if give birth to ourselves. This time, we have to be on a level where we look at ourselves, at our situation, and what we're undergoing from above. Something that we never had before. We always used to flow. Ah, great, revolution, this, that, there's an opportunity. No. Today we have to rise in consciousness above our life to see Earth and human society in a global fashion from above, and then develop on, keep on developing. Meaning that for the very first time, nature demands us, all of us together, and each one of us in particular, this is why you're here, for us to reach a clear understanding of who we are, what kind of world are we in, what state are we developing into. It's for the very first time that we're demanded to be humans, a human being. He who understands and acknowledges the essence of life. So we have to understand that our course, it's not simply in order to fill our time, but it is in order to help us, really help us, change our life, raise life to a new level, into perfection. Yeah. You say that nature demands of us to develop our consciousness in order to become a human being. It also relates to the previous thing that I didn't really understand. You talked about the laws of nature. What is this entity, nature, demanding things from us? When we study man psychologically, when we study about the still vegetative inanimate nature altogether and man a part of it, and this whole picture, we see laws, and from these laws we advance, develop. This means nature. We are part of nature. We are a result of the development of nature, not outside of nature. Psychology is all in all a science about man's behavior, which are also a part of the laws of nature. And it's a very important part of science, only that started developing all in all 100 years ago, but it's extremely important because really only 100 years ago we started feeling ourselves that we have the ability to develop in a special, personal way, consciously, understanding where to, who am I, how do I relate to others, and so on. Up till then, we used to write it down in novels, books, how a person behaves. 100 years ago, all in all, we started researching why does he behave the way he does, where does this kind of behavior come from. This is already studying the laws about man. And so, this kind of psychology is something very important because it helps us reach an understanding of who I am and who are others and how can I, in what way can I build between us a happy life. Because if we're a family, then there's no choice. We're closed in this one room called Earth and we're interdependent. So psychology helps us build the domestic peace. So this is called knowing the laws of nature. Besides that, there are laws on the still level. We study physics and the vegetative, that's biology, and botany, and the living level, which is theology, and so on. These are also the laws of nature, and how does nature behave on the levels of the still, or the vegetative, or the animate? How do the different parts and bodies behave and move and interact? And how does man behave? We learn about it on our psychology. Okay, this is something that I understand, that we learn in psychology how man behaves. You refer to psychology truly as a part of science. Sure, man's nature. Okay, so how am I supposed to understand the sentence you previously said that nature demands of us this and that? Psychology, I understand, but what's this entity? How did you say? You said psychology is the research of why do we behave the way we do, and how is it possible to maybe use it in order to... So I'll tell you. You have kids, right? Okay. You look at your kids, you see how they develop from year to year to year to year, right? What develops in them? Their nature. We know that at the age of one or two or three and so on, and every year a person undergoes a certain kind of development, development in understanding and consciousness and behavior, physical development, physiological development, psychological development, mental development. That's called the law of development of nature. It's a law. We can tell a person at the age of two, he's supposed to be one way or another, on a certain level to develop one way or another, know this or that, and at the age of three, he'll know that. How do you know that he'll know that at the age of three? Because you already know the law of how it develops, you know, the dynamics, the process, how it develops, it's a law, and that's nature. You can't do it any other way. But it's immersed in a person and develops. So how can you speak about it any other way? We are learning the laws of nature. We're a part of nature. In us, there is some kind of an engine that develops us. Each one of us, throughout his 70 years, and all of us together, throughout history in general. Now that we're looking back, we can make different calculations. Why did we develop this way and that way? From year to year, from period, from era to era, what was our motivation? What's going on? We can make a whole research here about the history of humanity, not simply history that this happened this way and that happened that way. No, but why did it happen? Like with a child, that he has certain data in him that all the time develops, like with an animal that's born like a small, like a kitten or something. That I know how he's supposed to develop, and if I don't, then I take him to a veterinarian. That's called the laws of nature. The same with social, with society, the laws of society, which is called sociology, there are laws to it as well. Of course, it's all laws. We don't exactly understand them or know them. These are all new sciences, but you can't say that. From what we already know, we see that it's a law. And everything. What is a law? That in the human species, there is an inner development, a social development, corresponding to its inner data, according to which it develops, that this is how society is built, that this is how a person builds himself, that it's a part of him, immersed in him. And the time that is working on those inner pieces of information develops this way. You have to give a child food, take care of him, and you'll see how he develops year by year by year. That's how he develops. So does the food develop him? No. Food is only nourishment by which the inner genes develop and bring him to be a human being. And what came from your seed, from which later you had children born, did you determine it, or what is it? It was incidental? No, it was known that from that drop will later on be born a body which will develop into a human. It all comes from an informative gene, certain piece of information that's in there that later develops through the external food, nourishment, so according to laws. With respect to a developing baby, this is something that I understand. The genes I understand. We see the same in human society. Okay, but Can someone say what is the gene of human society, or did anyone ever see human society once developed, and as a result he researched, looked, wrote it down, and can say that this is how it will happen again? We have only one baby that grows. We can say about the past that we research in philosophy, sociology, psychology. We can say that we see here a process and the reasons for this process. We see it only for the future now. We can't see much, but we can also understand from where we are, what is it actually, where is it leading us? Where is it taking us? So it's actually a kind of examining the past. We always learn from approximation. From the past, what we learn about the future. Okay, so what does it mean if we return to that same sentence that I didn't really understand what you mean by it, that nature demands things from us? What does that mean again? It means to imitate, follow nature. Okay, but who is this nature? This is something that I don't get. To research the past and make approximations, I understand. Something that develops, and in its development takes the still vegetative animate and the human. All of us are developing. Previously, earth developed. Then the still, then vegetative, then animate, then man. It started with the Big Bang. And it's going and developing through every time a connection, the connection between the parts brings them to more and more special parts, united parts, both in quality and also in quantity, where previously it was still. Suddenly parts, they start growing. There's a life in them, a development of their own. Afterwards, a development to reach the living level that develops more personally than the speaking. It's all a development. And I'm asking you, in this development, are there no laws or are there laws? Do you understand them or don't you? That's the question. There are laws. We see this from the past that we don't understand it. True, we don't understand, but it doesn't mean that these laws don't exist. They're present. I, as a scientist, look at nature and I learn from it. I learn from nature how it develops. How it develops me as a part of it. Who's man? He's no longer in the framework of nature with all of his, understanding and science. I'm all in all in a certain bubble called the universe. And I learn where I am and what are these laws inside the bubble. Infinite, endlessness. Endless, this entire wisdom, and I'm only scratching a small bit of it, and all that is my science. So I don't learn more than from nature, and also I'm inside that bubble, learning a bit about myself, and can't get along. So of course I have to learn these laws more. It's good that a bad feeling pushes me to acknowledge nature, to get to know it, at least in order to benefit myself. Okay. There's a lot about it. Okay. Probably we'll have more activities during this day that we have. I want to focus on the class of the unemployed, and they'll have a break and other activities. So would you like to maybe sum up, because there were plenty ideas here and most of them they're new, so maybe a few bullets about this first lesson that you have given us, the summary of the lesson. The summary of the lesson, it's still the first part, first of all. We didn't finish. Tomorrow we're meeting again, and every day. We're told that every day that we have to come for a few hours. Okay. All in all, as a result of this lesson, all of us have to agree. This is the sum total. I'm writing it down. I understand that later on we'll have tests and so on. Okay. That we are in nature that you can depict as a bubble, a ball inside which we live. Inside this ball, there are laws, absolute laws, and we are under these laws. When we investigate nature, then part of these laws, we perceive them, discover them for ourselves, and that's called science. And of course, 99.9% is left, things that we don't know and still can't discover. Knowing the laws of nature usually helps us build a good life. Look what you have at home. Television, internet, washing machines, drying machines, whatever. Look what we did compared to a person that if you go to some remote village, how they're living there, how they draw water from a well and how they cook on, they make a fire in the backyard and they're, how they wash their clothes and all together. We do it very quickly, no problem. I have a faucet in my wall. I have everything at home without making great efforts. And then throughout life, without too many efforts, I can do 1,000 different other things that in the, let's call it the village life, I couldn't. Meaning that our development helps us. Our development, it relieves a person to different other things, other chores, other matters that are very distant from his basic needs. And the question is, here the question is, if we have reached such a developed life, why did we reach such a cruel, empty life, where we're all in despair, helpless, in anxiety, in fear? What did we do in our free time, in technology? The social development has brought us to a state where we could create for ourselves such a beautiful addition to life. And instead of that tranquility that we had in our village, but it was physically hard, we came to a different kind of jungle. Why did we spend our time and our efforts that was relieved by technology in order to create such a confused and hard kind of life? Isn't it enough with that? Maybe now we have to reach a completely different kind of life. Again, like we come out of our village and we have to provide ourselves, like in a village, with the basic needs, 2 hours a day, and let's fill all the rest of the time with something else. Maybe this way we'll be able to turn our life. And with this question, I conclude the conversation. Really with a question. I'm leaving them with a question. The sum total is a question. Thank you. We finished our first meeting, and tomorrow we'll meet here again. All the best.